The Visual Culture Lecture Series at UMD continues without even a burp, without even a hiccup, presenting art, having these fascinating conversations virtually is not a difficult thing for us any longer, if it ever was. And it's wonderful that we're able to reach out and connect with people all across the state, all across the country. Julia Dabbs is an associate professor of art history at the University of Minnesota Morris. God's country. Just going to say that much and leave it alone. And her conversation tonight is taking place at 6 p.m. The topic is Black Subjectivity in the Life and Art of May Alcott Narriker. Julia, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Lisa. Thank you for having me.
So first of all, as soon as I saw Alcott, I wondered if she was related to Louisa May Alcott. And by golly, they're sisters, is that right?
Yes. And if you saw the film Little Women, which there's been many film versions of that, or read the book, then you know that Jo, or Louisa, had a younger sister who in the film and novel was named Amy. Well, that in fact is based on her sister May, who, as a young girl, had these great aspirations of being a fine artist and wanting to go to Europe and study art. And in fact, she did that. So it wasn't the case that she married Laurie in real life,
but
she in fact was an artist, and she's not gotten much attention from scholars, a little bit more in the past few years, but Louisa May Alcott has really dominated the field of literature and publications as far as the Alcott family. But May Alcott Narriker was important writer in her own terms. And in fact, that's what I actually emphasize in my research on May Alcott, is what she wrote a little bit more than what she actually painted.
So is that because she wasn't a fabulous painter? Oh, I hate to even say that.
She was very good. She did, two major aspects in which she did gain notoriety is that she had two of her paintings accepted into the Paris Salon, which was the, ultimate exhibition venue, and the, French art critics were certainly a little prejudiced and didn't like the Impressionists, for example, but she did get two paintings accepted in the Paris Salon, so that shows a certain amount of notoriety, and she was actually quite praised as being a copyist of the paintings of James W. Turner. If you know Turner's really wild, kind of abstract seascapes and landscapes, and he was kind of the Jackson Pollock of his time. Well, she actually worked as a copyist as a way of sort of reproducing his art, and that was popular with American collectors in the day. So she was known for those two things.
So, of course, back in the day, you couldn't just run down to your local print shop and have beautiful prints made of your work. You had to hire somebody to copy your work.
They could do engravings. It's going to be hard to do an engraving of a Turner painting, but that was one way you could get reproductions was print engravings. But otherwise, they're doing, and it's a lot of times these artists and a good number of them women who were very skillful, but they had a hard time breaking into the art world because they're women. They don't get the same educational training that male artists get at the time because they're thought to be just not as good. They're not worth the instructor's time. So a lot of these women then ended up, making money as an artist, but just doing this sort of, today we'd probably say it's second rate, but, they were making a living as artists, at least until I got married, and then that was kind of it usually. So yeah, she's not super well known for her art. Tonight I am going to talk about two of her paintings, one of a black male model and one of a black female model, and she does these in Paris when she's learning how to become a better painter using oil paint and painting the human figure, which is extremely difficult to do. I'm going to talk about those two.
I did want to ask about the title of your talk. I think it. I don't want to scoop everything, but I really thought I want to ask you more about what you mean by this black subjectivity in the life and art of.
Yeah, I was. I'm thinking using the term black subjectivity. That's something I just came up with. I'm not using somebody else's term here, and I'm trying to encapsulate a number of things. First would be the interactions that May Alcott has, beginning as a young 12-year-old girl, with African Americans, and she's living in Massachusetts. So these would be, in most cases, they're free persons, but she wants to help them. She wants to help educate black people, and so I'm looking at her diary writings for part of this, and how African-Americans have a place in her diaries, which is really interesting, I think. And then the black subject in her art, the models that I just mentioned. But then subjectivity, also referring to what is consistently a very empathetic response to African-Americans or black people when she's, when she's in Europe. So just that notion of empathy, of subjectivity, rather than objectivity, that's what I'm trying to get at, too.
Can you shed some light on her sense of what their experience was, what the experience of black people was in Europe at the time that she was there and in the places where she was, as opposed perhaps to what it might have been here in America? And remind us again what time frame we're looking at?
Sure. So she lived from 1840 to 1879. She dies quite young after childbirth, giving childbirth. And so she's growing up in the Civil War era, or a little bit before then. She's a young adult. She's college age when the Civil War is occurring. And then she's studying painting in Paris in the 1870s, kind of later 1870s. So after the Civil War, obviously. But what's interesting is that even though she's in Paris, her American identity is still very much with her. And so when she's looking at these black models, she and actually other students, especially the other American students in that studio, start to have a conversation about slavery and about the Civil War. And she says, we sort of rehash the debate about the Civil War right there in the art studio. So it's something that's still with her, even though she's in Paris. And maybe that American identity kind of comes to the forefront because she's not in her country. She's not a Parisian. She's not a European, but that's something that just sticks with her, even though she really wasn't too happy with her country and living in the U.S., and especially how women were even more discriminated against in the U.S.
We've done an awful lot lately, which I think may be a part of the process. I don't know if it's the place to stop, but I think it's a part of the process. We've done an awful lot of subjecting people in the past, looking at their lives, their attitudes, through the lens of our modern sensibilities. And sometimes even the best-intentioned white people tend to come at their dealings with people of color kind of across the board as, I know it's best for you and I want to help you and I want to whatever. And they do a lot of doing and talking and not very much listening. Was it tempting for you at all? Did you find any instances as you've delved into her life where you're tempted to say, gosh, that really wouldn't stand up to scrutiny today? Or what is your sense of her attitudes, even if we perhaps unfairly look at her through our modern lens now?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to get into the mind of a 19th century person, even if you have their diaries and journals and you think you kind of know them. But, yeah, she does one instance in particular that I'm going to mention tonight, where she's talking about this black model, a female, and she sees her as still an enslaved woman. She's kind of projecting that notion of slavery onto this woman in Europe who's not a slave. I mean, she's a paid model. So that's something that, you know, I try to not force my opinion and say, okay, you could think about it this way, you could think about it that way. You know, is she stereotyping? Or is she, in fact, cognizant of the fact that, you know, after the Emancipation Proclamation, not all blacks were freed. I mean, there still was slavery. You know, so there are occasions where you're not quite sure what she's thinking. I could certainly see people reading this or listening to this and thinking that's a really negative attitude she has, and somebody else saying that's a more empathetic response. And I think you really have to put it into the context of her her ideas and her identity as a woman who fought against injustices as she saw them in the art world. So she has that lens of awareness that things are not fair in the world. And she speaks out against them. She's speaking out more in terms of the art world and her writings. But she also has this undercurrent of, awareness of people of lower socioeconomic class or of, racial discrimination. And so I think if you try to put it in the context and not just take out this one quotation and say, oh, she still has these prejudices, then, I think that helps to try to get some sort of understanding of what she's about.
So perhaps her feeling already that the deck is stacked against her as a woman and with those struggles perhaps made her very sensitive to any kind of power imbalance that she perceived around her.
Right.
And she may have colored in the details not accurately, but she was coming from that shared sense of this isn't fair.
Right. And when she's making these comments about the black model, she's writing to her family. Okay, her family, her father and mother were very much strong abolitionists. So she's, I think she's writing to that audience of her family members and knowing what their concerns are towards black people.
It's going to be a fascinating program. Julia, thank you so very much for joining us. We'll get some links set up so it'll be easy for folks to find the information if they'd like to take part. 6 p.m. tonight, Julia Dabbs is going to be presenting a talk, Black Subjectivity in the Life and Art of May Alcott Narriker. May Alcott Narriker was Amy in the Little Women books. I can't believe that we haven't heard more about her, if nothing else than she's Amy. She's Amy. There was a real Amy. I mean, this has kind of made my day. Julia Dabbs. Go ahead, please.
Sorry, I'm going to talk a little bit about May Alcott, too. So I'm actually going to, before I do the Black Subjectivity presentation, I am going to talk more about Mae Alcott as a person and how she relates to Amy or not. So you'll get a little of that, too.
So that'll be fantastic. Thanks again, Julia. Julia Dabbs is an associate professor of art history at the University of Minnesota Morris, and her talk as part of the Visual Culture Lecture Series takes place tonight, Zoom. On Zoom at 6 p.m., we'll get details up on our website, so it'll be easy for folks to find the information.